If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids Going Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I am Jay Clone 26.
Today we're going to talk about a really special thing from Mesoamerica. But before that, I have a couple 5-star reviews and an announcement, which is that I am sicker. I've been sick for like a week and a half, and I'm more sick. My throat hurts.
Maybe we should give you a, you know, like they do the sheep where they dip them?
I would take a sheep dip right now.
I think
now.
You need dipped.
I would take a dip. I probably wouldn't come back out, but...
Or you come up like that a tumor seal, or that goat they drop down in the Mel's hole. You might come up like that. Just bones.
That was the tumor seal.
No, I thought, well.
The sheep busted out. So the sheep, they sat down. They pulled it back out. The tumor seal came out of the sheep's guts.
Right. I'm saying you're going to come up like the sheep when they dip you. I thought it was a goat. I don't remember.
It was a sheep.
Mel's hole. Things happened.
Got two new reviews. 5-star reviews.
All right.
Leave some 5-star reviews.
Yeah, we'll read them on the show, like right now.
Big Red Panda 27. They said, so interesting. The first ever episode that I listened to was the one about haunted asylums in Australia. There is a gore warning, and it is definitely needed for this episode. There's graphic details included in the episode that did, in fact, make me feel very uneasy. But I love the history and the true crime feel. Right now, this is the podcast that I'm binging. There's something really special about these guys that reminds me of myself. Mm. I like that. Their responsiveness is pretty much exactly how I would respond to certain details. I highly recommend this podcast to anybody looking for a good listen. 10 out of 10.
Well, thank you, Red Panda. Much appreciated.
And then from Bigfoot Believer, good podcast. I like to listen while doing homework.
Oh, good deal.
Thank you, Bigfoot Believer.
Yeah, get that homework done. But you know
Laver,
what?
Believer, like beaver with an L.
Believer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's believe. Or I guess it's how you spell it, I guess. However you want to spell it. What, same thing.
How do you normally spell believe?
B-E-L-I-E.
Right. This is B-L.
Oh, B. So they took the E out.
Mm-hmm.
Just the letter B. Like, all right.
Beaver with an L.
Well, you know, do your homework. Make sure you do it. But, you know, do it on your own terms. Don't do it because they told you you have to do it by this certain day and time and this certain way. You know what? Do it on your own terms. Learn it your own way. Don't let them.
This is coming from a college dropout.
Yes, it is. I've seen the light. Colleges are state funded colleges are there just to take your money and put you in debt. Go to a trade school, learn a skill. That's my opinion.
Do whatever you want.
Or do that too.
We're going to talk about Camazotz.
Camazotz? Is this from Camelot?
No, from Mexico.
Oh, that's far from Guatemala, King Arthur's court.
Mexico, like Mesoamerican. So, you know, what we'd call modern day, like Latin America and Northern, like South America.
Okay.
Mesoamerica.
Meso. Okay. Central America. That's what I'll refer to as.
Camazotz. Which you guessed something earlier. What, do you want to tell everybody what you guessed?
Was that right?
Well, just tell everybody.
Well, we were on Crips and Coffee this morning, which you can find us every morning on Facebook, YouTube, Patreon.
Oh, gosh.
You can find us every morning at 9 a.m. on Tuesdays to see us talk for an hour live with you guys, just shooting the crap and, you know, sorry, I had to... Well, just doing that.
Hurry up.
We just talk every Tuesday. And I guessed this morning, you mentioned the episode, and I guessed it's a big bat.
That's what he guessed.
Am I right?
No.
Oh, dang it. Why'd you lead me up to it? You made me feel like I was onto something.
Just because I wanted everybody to hear the same thing that I had to deal with.
I'm a good guesser.
Found in the ancient Mesoamerican mythologies and some cults. There's a belief that the Zapotec. So I have a bunch of pronunciation guides for all you people that won't stop commenting. I did some of these pronunciation guides. Doesn't help on some of them.
Yeah.
So the Zapotec Indians of Oconax, Mexico.
Okay.
So those are all words I've had to look up.
I know exactly where you're talking.
The Zapotec I'm more confident with than the Oconax.
Okay.
Too many O's and X's.
There's a lot of them. I'm picking up, though.
Mexico. They had a great deity they called Camazotz that literally translates to
I don't know.
Death bat.
It is a bat.
It's a giant bat. Giant
no way.
Death bat.
I don't know how. The answers come to my head.
In the native Quichic Mayan language of Guatemala, mentioned in the Mayan book called Puluva. It is said that these monstrous mountain or these monstrous massive abomination with fusing the features of a bat and a man.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting into some of the
Batman.
It will, like the Mothman sightings or whatever of Chicago.
Yeah.
And a lot of these giant monster bats of North America.
Mm.
Where they stand up and everything. Everything from what?
Bat squatch.
I was gonna say bat squatch. And maybe even some other things you'll think of.
Mm.
So this massive, you know, monster, which dwelled in the caves, well, specifically one cave, they call its lair, called Zoltahila, which just roughly translates to the house of the bats.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Often armed with sacrificial daggers.
The I can't even think of this thing's name, but the
Camazotz.
Camazotz. They're armed with daggers?
Yeah, specifically sacrificial daggers. This is like the death bat or the bat of death, like... So this has some, not only the giant monster, but some of the Grim Reapers and sacrificial humans, yeah. Like human sacrifice stuff. And
this is their version of the Grim Reaper?
Not exactly. That's, I feel like, maybe doing it a disservice.
Okay.
But this is, like, it has some of those attributes.
Okay. This fills the same niche.
No.
Oh.
This frightening bat god was supposedly greatly feared by the Mayans, who were also said they had frequent sacrifices to it to appease it. The Camazotz said to kill these offerings... or indeed anyone foolish enough to wander into its domain by decapitation with its knife-like nose.
Oh, okay.
And a long piece of skin on its nose that it would swipe and just decapitate people.
Like a sawfish?
Yeah. Yes. After, I'm glad you found the through line for this week's episodes. They don't even have any idea.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
After which, it would devour their blood.
Okay.
The lore describes its lair as having walls covered with blood from fallen or from the fallen victims. It was even described as one of the four animal demons that once destroyed mankind in the Mayan legends.
Mm.
And is said to have the one who taught men how to use fire.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's kind of funny, though, how all around the world there is that origin story of
fire with creatures.
Well, things, just teaching paranormal being, things. Men being taught. Yeah. You know, going back to, what was that, Hephaestus? Was he the one that, the Greek god that
stole and had his liver eaten out?
No, that's not him. That would, I don't think so.
There was one of them that had that Zeus chained to a boulder because he gave humans fire.
Right.
And had a giant eagle eat his liver out.
Yes, I don't.
Every day and made it grow back.
Correct. I don't think that was Hephaestus, but I know.
Hephaestus was not the guy that, Hephaestus was the inventor.
The forger of fire. Yeah. He didn't give them fire?
You know, he did not give them fire.
No, okay.
He was like the inventor, the guy that made everything.
Ah, okay. I'm around it. You know, I'm adjacent.
Yes. Sure.
Moving on.
One of the most well-known legends associated with Kamazots is the trials of the Mayan hero Hellepoop. Hellepoo?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even... I don't even know how. I tried to look it up, how to pronounce the other guy. But it's like X-Balinquic.
Oh, I actually know. It's like X-Balank or something. He was on this game called Smite.
So they had like him as a character in there?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go X-Balank because you said that.
That's what I always said it.
They both veered into the deep underworld and found themselves in his cave.
Ooh, okay.
The story goes that the bloodthirsty Kamazots decided to decapitate Hellepoop and keep his head in order to play ball games with it.
Oh, okay.
Leaving his brother to cower within his own blowgun until dawn came and forced the demon to retreat. Kamazots was featured in Mayan art and stories for centuries. If you watch The Road to El Dorado,
oh yeah,
that game they play is based off of this legend.
Okay, I was going to ask if that was the game they were playing.
Yeah, because it used to be a head.
Oh, nice. Well, that's wonderful. Mm. I don't want to play that game.
But yeah, so tons of Mayan art and stories for centuries. There's long been debate whether this tale of a murderous man bat had any basis in reality or if it's purely supernatural or mythical.
Yeah. Well, in South America, there was that city of the monkey god, and they found it. They found.
Was that South America?
Yes. Yes.
I feel like you've been wrong a lot this episode.
I'll attach my name to this one. It was South America. It was city of the monkey god because it was hidden forever, but they rediscovered it, and like it had the monkey statue, like deity.
There's not even any monkeys in South America.
Well. No, isn't that great?
There's monkeys in South
America. I thought so. I was about to Google it. No, I'm almost 99% sure this one was there. Because I remember, I don't know if that was the one that was discovered by that one kid who used the stars, like constellations, and then realized it was matching up to cities we have found, you know, in South America, like ancient cities. And then he used those stars to discover undiscovered cities or lost cities just by using those patterns, and they were there. This is wild.
Remember some of the Chupacabra legends even had the giant bat. Like
some
of the witnesses seen a giant bat monster drinking blood.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. Hammerhead bat, Jersey devil. That's all it is.
They're a fruit eater, but...
Same thing. People are just big fruits, you know? Just drinking the juices out of it. That's all it is. We're all just big, like, mangoes.
The longer you talk, the worse it gets.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm sick and I'm taking it out on everybody. One idea among cryptozoologists, though, is that the mad bat god is perhaps based on a real life creature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So perhaps some sort of giant, oversized prehistoric species of bat that may still exist at times. There's other evidence that, you know, various eyewitnesses report over the years are describing a giant bat like creature in the regions where Kamazot was said to be worshipped and reigned. In 1947, a witness called Jay Harrison reportedly sighted several massive bats in the region. Just kind of walking around, flying around, doing all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
And in the 1950s, a Brazilian couple encountered what they described as a humanoid bat monster in northern Brazil.
Okay.
So like a bat that's walking upright on its wings.
That sounds fit the bill.
In more recent years, there was frightening encounters in southern Texas in the borders of Mexico where farmers were claiming to have seen aggressive bat-like creatures with three toes, a bald head, and gorilla-like faces.
Okay, that would be frightening.
And even more so recently, there was reports from 2004 from an area of Valles de Silla in the municipality of Guadalupe in the eastern suburb of Montreal, Mexico. On January 16th of that year, police officer Gallius was on patrol when he allegedly saw something very large and very dark descend from the trees and hover over the ground. As the wary police officer approached what he could see, the winged humanoid was covered in black fur. He reportedly lunged at the car and grabbed it and was shaking it.
Okay. Bat Squatch style.
I was going to say, you should be picking up on some various other cryptids we've covered. And after which it started banging on the windshield and the frightened policeman radioed in for help. You imagine you're a cop. You get out first, you're like, is that a big bat? Oh, that's a really big. And then it like is running at you.
Running.
Jump at you. You jump in the car. It's just like shaking the car, punching the windshield. And you're like, hey, I got a 1047.
Hmm.
Like having the radio into other cops be like, there is a monster trying to get into my car with me.
There was an episode of Swamp Thing with this thing did this. It was a Batman creature.
Well, there's, yeah, man bat.
And it attacked. Well, I think he was made in the lab, too.
Man bat.
And he attacked him. Mm-hmm. Just like this.
There's only so many ways a giant man bat could attack you.
Running at you or flying at you with his feet, hands, or mouth. That's about it.
So you're ready for help. In a panic, he would allegedly gun the car in reverse, crashing in a tree and knocking himself unconscious.
Oh, okay.
Radio, help! Throws in reverse. Right, boom!
And he's out.
Cold. He's out.
That was unfortunate.
When help arrived, the creature was gone and they had woke the other officer up.
Oh, it worked!
Yeah, well, yeah, because that's like, what? You know, probably got knocked off the car.
What if it was just like a guy in like a costume? He's like, help! Strung
with his cop.
He just ran to the cop there for help because his other bat friend, you know, fell down the hill.
Yeah, so since I'm so sick, this is definitely going to be a shorter episode.
Okay.
Because I'm almost out of stories already. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I'm tired and dying.
Well, let's not die today.
Leave a comment if you love me.
Yeah? What if they don't?
Then don't say anything. We get enough hate.
Well, we could still use the comment.
If you don't like the podcast, don't listen.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Plenty of that. That always confused me from times, but I don't.
I'm not jumping on your car, banging on the window, making you listen.
You're not?
No.
Do they act like you are?
In 2009, there was a report of a rural area in Cholula, Mexico, in the town of El Huanta, when a young man came across something crouched down and hunched over in the middle of the remote dirt road. When the frightened man drove closer, the thing stood up and revealed a very humanoid shape that had extensive wings and red glowing eyes.
Okay.
The terrified witness tore away in his vehicle and then claimed that the creature chased him for a full 15 minutes. So he's flying in his car going like 70, 80 miles an hour, and the creature's keeping up.
That's a long time.
What's that minutes. Sound like?
That sounds like Mothman.
Yeah, Point Pleasant.
Well, either sounds like Mothman, a sandhill crane, or perhaps like a science club's experimental balloon that somehow was self-guided.
I was going to say it was just
self-propelling.
It was tied to the car, so it was just dragging behind
it. That's what.
Did you see it going back and forth with the red eyes?
Yeah, it gets some weird gust of wind and swoops it around it.
I was watching videos last night of people attaching fake snakes to golfers.
Gosh, it's so funny, but it's so mean.
Well, that one guy was talking about, like, literally screwing over, like, small town people.
Yeah.
And then they attach a snake to him, and he like, that was, and he ran into the golf cart. And
oh,
was
good. Like, I didn't hear them prior conversation.
And he was talking about how his neighbor's tree fell on something and he was suing him and everything like this.
So, and then they attached a snake to him. So he was, it's good. Good. But one of those guys hit so hard.
That was that guy.
Oh,
where
good.
He crushed the front of the golf cart.
Yeah, flipped over it.
Yeah.
Run away from a snake. A fake one. That's funny.
They drove off tour. So yeah, the sighting would have heavily circulation in the local news and be blamed for a series of mysterious cattle mutilations in the area.
Okay. Interesting. Chupacabra.
Chupacabra, aliens, caves. These things are often.
Daryl Sims.
So what do you think? That's it. That's the whole episode.
Oh, okay.
Not really, but.
So the
I'm only a quarter way through the script, but.
Oh, okay. Well, then why are you tricking me?
Because the rest of it's science.
Well, that's what everyone comes here for. No, I mean, classic stories, classic examples. Very bad, Squatchy. Very, well, a couple other things, alien, but where do we draw the line between bat, Squatch, alien, and freaking demon? Lines are blurred. Some fall under many umbrellas or the same Venn diagrams. A lot of crossover. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where this one falls, but these legends have been going on from this area for a long, long, long time. Wonder how far back they do go in this area, too. If it transcends the...
To the Mayans.
I know, but I wonder if it transcends even them.
I mean, sure. We wouldn't know that, though.
Yeah, I guess. I know we wouldn't know, but I wonder if it is.
It's the Inca Aztec Maya, right?
You know, I never...
Inca's always first. I'm 90% sure Inca's first.
Maybe. I really don't know, I'll be honest. You said something, too. It reminded me of the Olmecs, too. You said something about the bald heads. Oh, what was it you were saying in there? The bald heads, like the gorilla-like
faces.
Because the Mayans, or not Mayans, the Olmec heads, like the stone heads, they're very weird, very strange. If you don't know about them at home, Olmec heads, I guess there's these big stone heads they found buried and they dug them all up. I mean, hundreds of them, thousands of them probably. I really don't know, but they're gigantic and they're all unique. They're all like, have their own unique characteristics. So it's not like they were just throwing the mold and mass producing these things. Very strange, but I don't know. It kind of sounded like that's what it reminded me of when you said that, the head and the bald head and the face. Because they kind of have like the pug like that gorilla, you know, smashed nose. Like, but they're just so massive. So now I'm picturing like these massive heads. If you attach a body to it, it's got to be huge. Throw some wings on that and you got an actual demon monster. That would be like a 14, 15 foot tall bat monster that's thick and strong. I don't know. That would be scary.
So I found on Reddit, if you go to r/cryptozoology, it's from 4 years ago. The user has been deleted. They don't have an account anymore.
So redacted.
Credit. Strange flying creature sightings in Mexico.
Uh-oh.
I had written this before. So I'm reading the guy's whole thing. I'd written this before, but in another forum, and was compelled of creepy things my mom lived during her life, which it seemed to be a magnet for. But constantly, and I believe this has been translated.
Okay.
So there's a couple funnies, like way words are and stuff like that because of the like.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Like Google translating it.
Yes.
My mom in her life, you know, lived, but considering that this was an animal, I will post it here. To see if anybody knows anything about it. This is a discontinued with the possibility that it was a military drone, and we are talking about a small 500 people town in the middle of nowhere in the countryside, part of a 10,000 K inhabitation municipality in northern Jalisco, Mexico. The town that is called La Quinta, which means the burned one. In this case, if you want to Google it on maps, but I do not advise you go and visit, as there is a serious cartel problem around there, as far as my parents told me the last time I was there.
Okay, that's not good.
So don't go.
Yeah, don't go. The PSA, as far as this podcast is concerned, don't go to this area.
Yeah. Here's how the story goes. It happened before the year 2000, he's writing it from his mom's point of view.
Okay.
This happened the year before 2000 because I remember the New Year's celebration in 2000. My stepfather shot his gun in the sky as a means of celebration, which IMO is...
In my opinion.
Is extremely dumb, but you know hillbillies are Mexican hillbillies.
Hey, just like us here.
We do
the exact same thing. It's a human thing.
Yeah. We lived in a small house that was under construction at the time. And at the top of the hill, the street went down to a stream that was used to be a river, but now is almost dry. And nowadays, I would be surmised that it would be completely dry. The only church in town was 1,000 meters down the street hill, and there was a little park. There was a wall, as the wall of the yard was down, it was being rebuilt. My mother was afraid of going to the bathroom alone. Yes, it was that type of country town because the bathroom was outside of the house, deep in the yard.
Mm.
At least in this house. So she woke up my stepdad and in the early morning to go out with her. He was looking at the stars outside the bathroom. When my mom came out, she saw my stepdad was looking at something. And that's when she saw it. It was a big bird-like creature. Skin smooth as a seal. Gray color. The wings of some 3 to 4 meters wide. But the wings were not flapping. They were almost curved like a bird's wings. It was just floating there, thanks to the wind pushing it. It had no discernible head. The front was oval as far as we could see. The body looked like any birds that flew. Its tail was very triangular. There was a green glow, though, coming from its tail. It was sort of phosphorescent as it covered the whole thing and emitted it around it. They did not mention anything about legs of the thing. So there's a little bit more to the story, but before I go on, what do you think? They can't see its head. They think it's really bird-shaped, but skin-covered.
Ugh.
And the large triangular tail, which you've ever seen bats, they connect their membranes to their legs, and they have a tail. A lot of times they'll connect it to the tail and back to the back leg, so it can look like a big triangle.
I see, yep. Like the little flap of skin between the legs. Oh, flesh covered.
Glowing green at the tail.
Ooh.
Phosphorescent. It put the whole thing in an eerie glow. So this reminds me of some other cryptids.
Like what?
The Ropin.
Okay, yeah.
Has a glow. It's a glowing spot on its chest. And then, what other winged monster came out of caves and had a glow?
Well, the Van Meter Visitor.
The Van Meter Visitor.
That was his horn.
Yeah.
On the other end, yeah. But cave creature with a glow. It could be like some kind of lure or follow me kind of thing.
Or communication.
Okay. What animals use bioluminescence for communication?
Got a big list coming up.
I figured you did. I was queuing you up.
Yeah, it's coming. They see this just strange thing. But also the O-ring Bate. You remember that guy?
Yep.
He glowed.
I guess I forget all the glowing creatures.
Yeah, a bunch of the flying ones glow.
Hmm.
Bunch of the bat-like flying ones glow.
Well, I mean, you're not talking about Bat Squatch, right? He didn't have a glow. He had like a...
No, but he blew up.
He was on fire.
That's why he was blue. I really do believe that. That's why he was so blue.
Why?
Because it's covered in soot.
Oh, I thought thought it may have been that fungus or something.
It could have been any of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was because... I think it's because he was covered in so much soot because it turned everything like that gray blue.
No, I think it was because he just robbed a bank and he was trying to get away.
The dye pack.
Yeah.
So other curious details that are, my stepdad said he had thought, I better get my camera and take some pictures. And my mom was terrified and wanted to grab the broom and start swinging at it.
Okay.
It's 4 meters wide.
Yeah.
12 feet.
Just take a big old broom and like, yeah, that's, my grandma did that once.
That was a Mexican mom.
Yeah. One time we had a raccoon, you know, the little like drain spout in your gutters, like mm-hmm. where it, there's a little bend at the top where it bends down and then goes straight down. When that little bend, when we were a little raccoon, or not little, a big fat raccoon climbed up there and was stuck up there because he was too scared to get down because we had dogs and whatever, but he was just stuck. So no one was doing anything. And my grandma just grabs a broom and she goes right outside, right at it. She
starts whipping it.
Well, she just shoves it out of there and it shoves it all the way to the ground. And then our dogs chase it across the street and it was gone, but no fear.
They both say that, they wanted to take a broom. They both say that they wanted to move, but they could not move at all. They were completely frozen. They were thinking of doing these things, but their bodies would not react to doing that.
So they're just frozen. Saying
that he's like, they're frozen. His stepdad was like, I'm going to go get my camera. And his mom's like, I'm going to go get the broom and start whipping that thing.
But neither of them moved.
Neither of them moved. Hmm. You could ever say where it's everything, where it's just like seeing a train wreck or a car wreck and you just,
yeah.
People say you just can't look away. It's something so odd or otherworldly that it's like,
yeah.
Or you could say it's more supernatural or paranormal where it's paralyzing them.
Or you can just, they got zoned out watching it too. Like, you know, you say
the
like,
alien stuff, you know, the alien side where it's like missing time. And,
well, that or more or less like, you know, I'm going to go out to the kitchen and get like a snack. And you stand up out of the chair and you're still watching your show. And 5 minutes later, you're still standing there.
Do that all
the
time.
You're like, aren't you going to get, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's something like that, you know, innocence. Squirrel, ADHD.
He also said the creature took around 15 minutes to fly about 150 meters. 15 minutes.
To fly 150 meters?
Like it was going really, so.
Yeah, like it was.
Not that it was flying that slow.
Okay.
Like it wasn't leaving the area. Is how I'm reading it.
Okay.
Keep mine translated.
Yeah, true.
So you lose some of the nuances.
Yeah. So it could mean that. Like it could have been like hover, like a. Like so when an eagle's looking over a woods.
His parents were talking, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
That's just, how they were talking when it was like, it almost like it was using the wind
and
to
gliding.
Stay very still.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that before too.
Birds do it on cliffs. Bats.
All the time.
Yeah, bats use uplifts and caves and stuff like that.
I have a real cool video on my phone of I actually had to pull over and take it because it was so cool. There was a red-tailed hawk flying.
Like right hovering?
Beside, yeah, on an overpass. It was at US 30. And I was taking the exit to get onto US 30, and I was going down the ramp, and I just stopped because right over the overpass, there was where that updraft is, there was a red-tailed hawk, seriously, like floating perfectly. Its head never moved a spot. Its body was kind of moving around a little bit, but its head was in perfect. It looked fake. So I recorded it. It's awesome.
Then it got, until it finally got lost behind the trees, but they could not move until they lost sight of it.
Okay.
They also said they feel like it was looking for something.
Yeah, food.
That, I mean, whatever, but the glow, like it kept glowing its tail on and off, and like a firefly.
Maybe it was like a courtship display.
And it is being such a recluded place that with old school religions, people, they told my parents, yes, everyone in this town knew what was going on all of the time. That is that this was a witch. Now, specifically, though, a Nuhala.
Okay.
And it's N-A-H-U-A-L-A. Like, new, where was I? N-A, like, nah, but...
Nahuala.
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 Nahuala. Which is roughly a Mexican skin changer, or a skinwalker.
Skin changer, maybe a shapeshifter.
That's, yeah.
I guess skinwalkers do that, but...
That's their whole shtick.
But they're not skin. This is literal skin.
What?
Like, remember the creature that was like flesh covered?
Yeah, okay. Not like it was made... Like, not that it was made of weird flesh. Like, it just had taunt skin like a bat.
Oh, I just picture it like you like and me.
No.
Like pale skinned.
No, it said gray seal-like skin.
Like me.
Okay. There's always been a division between some sort of, or then some people said it may have been an experimental drone, which makes no sense, as they mentioned before, they say, or some sort of identified cave-dwelling bird or a large bat. There are tons of mines that opened up into caverns in the area.
Okay. Van Meter visitor style.
And then that's what I have written next is Van Meter visitor.
Ah, okay. Yeah. If you don't know that story...
I'll give you the rough version of it real in a second. But yeah, so that's that one. What do you think? Giant glowing bat.
Yeah, the bioluminescence thing, whatever that was.
Biophosphorescence.
Phosphorescence even, yeah. But they said they couldn't have been a drone. Why'd they say that was nonsense?
He just was saying because how rural the area is. Like, it's a town of 500 people.
Yeah.
Most of them don't have running water in the houses. Or, like, they have bathrooms, they have outhouses still.
Right. So, a perfect place to run an experimental drone to freak people out in.
But that's his opinion.
Right, that's just his opinion. So I can't, I'm not going to rule that one out ever.
It didn't sound like a drone at all to me.
I know, but we don't know what secret technology is even out there anymore.
This is in 2000.
Yeah, it could have been already there. Like that one winged plane you saw. Remember
but
that?
But that's real.
I know it's real, but it wasn't 20 years ago.
It was. We talked about that. It was from like the 70s.
Yes, but it wasn't like publicly disclosed.
Yes, it was.
But it, like, it's not in the public domain, like where everybody knows
once
about
it. Once I Googled it, yes.
Then you found out about it, but even then, that was...
I'm not into planes.
Right. Well, nobody is, except plane lovers, and gosh, there's like
you're
four of them.
Today.
I am.
I'm going to mute you.
I think it's this is your reflection.
All right. So, giant bats... So, Kamazot specifically is a blood lover.
Yeah, vampire.
And all these areas that have these giant bat sightings also have cattle mutilation stuff.
Right.
And they talk about these surgical puncture wounds and all the bodies being drained of blood.
Right.
So I wonder if there's giant blood-sucking bat monsters that are attacking cattle, mutilating them, drinking all the blood, and then leaving. So all these stories of cows getting picked up and dropped.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how could it... You know, there's no helicopter. We didn't hear any drone or something. Giant bat.
Bat. Now, that could be.
That one on Skinwalker Ranch, we did that as an episode where they seen a giant monster sitting in the trees and it just disappeared. What if that was just a bat sitting in a tree?
Mm.
Like a giant, but still a giant
right,
thing.
Right, big.
But they're like, it's 40 foot tall.
Just be sitting up in the branches.
Yeah, the whole thing that they thought was the head of it was just the body of the creature.
Oh, gotcha. The whole, yes, okay. That could very well be. This just reminded me of a story we used to have. Mr. Klingler was our substitute teacher when we were in elementary school, and he was in. He's getting up there now, but he was older when we were in elementary school, so we're talking many years ago. He's still alive, lives right down the road from me. But he told this story when he was a kid, where he was afraid. He had this fear that something would reach out, you know, like any kid, reach out under the bed when your lights are off in your room, you know, and grab your legs. So he had this routine at night where he would, he had a pull string on his light. So he would run from his door to his room or to his bed, and he would jump in the air and pull the pull string all in one motion. So he was in the air, pull the pull string, and he would land on his bed. And that's how he would go to bed each night. And he said one night, he laid in the bed, and he said it felt like someone blowing right in his face, blowing air mm-hmm. in his face. And he couldn't, and his mind started racing. And the only thing that came to his mind was there's a witch in his room, and she's hovering over him and blowing air in his face. And he said, so he just pulled the blankets over his head and cover it. And when he'd pull him back off, because it was pitch black, couldn't see nothing, he'd feel the air start blowing in his face again. So the next night, he decided, and it happened like two nights in a row, and he was freaked out. So he said the third night, he was going to see, he's going to trick the witch, and he's going to jump, pull the string in the bed, but he's going to hang on to it. So when he's laying in bed, he's already hanging on the string, and he can pull the light back on. So he did. And he's laying there, and he said, sure enough, he felt the wind blowing on his face. And he said he pulled the string, and there was a bat. It was a bat hovering over him, flapping its wings. He couldn't hear it, but he could feel it. But even then, and you know, and that he said that really happened. Even then, I'm wondering, was it something more paranormal, maybe, perhaps? Because why would a bat be floating over you, and why would it do it multiple times in a row each night?
Turn off the light, so it's like, it's time to come out.
Time to come out. I mean, maybe. Maybe. That just reminded me of it. Maybe bats, I don't know, maybe there's some supernatural stuff that takes the form of bats just like vampire, maybe the Dracula, maybe the Dracula's legends aren't based too far off reality.
So keep Dracula on.
Okay.
That's what we're going to talk about next.
Oh, all right.
Is specifically Dracula.
So the real Dracula?
Dracula.
From Dracula. Transylvania?
No.
Okay.
The real Dracula.
Okay.
From 2.5 million years ago to modern day.
Vlad the Impaler?
The real Dracula.
Yeah.
That's Count Dracula. We're talking about the real Dracula.
Dead and loving it, Dracula?
No, way before that.
Okay.
Dracula.
Dracula.
That's probably closer to that. That's how I actually pronounce it. Let's take an ad break and we'll be back.
Hey, we're down here at Mel's Hole, and Justin? Justin? Where'd you go?
Help! I'm falling down the hole!
You fell down Mel's Hole?
Yes, I keep falling, and I think I'm going to be falling for a really, really long time.
Oh, no. How long till I... You have enough time for me to get a rescue crew?
I think I do, but I'm really hungry, and I found a dead tumor seal as I was falling. But it looks absolutely disgusting. Do you have anything to help?
I think I have just the thing. Here, let me toss down a couple of bottles of Flavors of the Forest Bigfoot Breath.
Really, really chuck them so they catch up.
Here it comes, one. And two.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to eat this tumor seal now with Flavors of the Forest. Where could the other people get this amazing product to cook their own tumor seal?
You can get this wonderful, amazing, tasty product at flavorsforest.com/corn. Add it to anything, and it will make your food taste delicious.
And where could they take a kid fishing?
Future anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio. That's Indian Lake, Ohio. I mean, that's where you want to go if you want to experience and see the lake and donate some goods to these guys, or just donate some funds to them so they can provide equipment for our youth to get them out on the lake and get them fishing. We need to get a pole in their hands and some bait in the water and see them bobbers bobbing up and down. And nothing like getting a kid and teaching them how to fish.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Dracula.
Dracula. Dracula.
So what I told you, in all these areas where the legends of a giant blood-sucking bat monster actually existed, a Dracula. It was a giant blood-sucking bat monster.
Oh, okay.
What if I told you that? Would you believe me?
Well, I would say that's pretty convenient.
I'll tell you his real name. He's of the Dracula family.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Is it Gregory?
Desmond.
That was close.
Desmond Dracula.
Desmond Dracula. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. He was here.
What a nice sounding guy.
He's not.
Oh. It's nice sounding.
Now, Desmodus Dracula,
okay,
is an extinct, giant, long-nosed, blood-sucking bat from Central, South, and in Southern North America.
When did this exist?
Really, like, till now.
Oh.
They went extinct relatively recently.
Okay. Shoot. What, how, okay, so where's this discovery? Where's this origin story?
So the Dracula bat, or the Desmond Dracula, is an extinct species of vampire bat which inhabited Central and South America, and possibly some of the, like I said, southern United States. They're still arguing their fossils are pretty rare, as are most bats are, just due to the fragile nature of bat fossils and bat bones.
Mm-hmm.
They were quite a bit larger than any large modern-day vampire bat. So they were the largest vampire bat we've ever discovered. So right around 20 inches long.
Is that wingspan, or you're talking head to toe?
So, yes, it's wingspan.
Okay.
And they were about 12 inches from their nose to their tail, but they had a pretty sizable tail with that.
So this is like our largest blood-sucking bat?
Yes.
Carnivorous, yeah. I guess?
Well, no, there's other carnivorous bats that get quite large. So we're talking specifically about vampire bats.
Okay.
This is extremely mega-sized.
Bloodsucker.
Blood-sucking bat.
Okay.
This is as big as we ever known.
Okay.
And we'll talk about vampire bat behaviors, because they're quite a bit different than most other bats.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you give a bat, a blood vampire bat or blood-sucking bat, a blood orange, could it live?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm not an expert. I know some bad experts. Actually, give me a minute. I'll call her. Oh, no. So they have fossils and unmineralized subfossils.
Okay.
Okay. Bones.
That's what they call it? Unmineralized subfossils?
So that's me being kind of funny.
Okay.
It's not quite bones, but they're not fossils yet.
But it's in the in-between?
It's like an in-between kind of thing.
Okay.
Where they're still organic. They're not mineralized, but it's not like a normal bone. It's not like picking up a white bleached bone from a deer.
Gotcha.
Or some of the cave stuff that you get where it's like, oh, this is an actual giant ground sloth, like knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an actual bone.
Still there, yeah.
But yeah. But they found them in Argentina, Mexico, Ecuador, Brazil, Venezuela, Belize, and Bolivia.
Mm. So all in that region.
Mm-hmm. They were not as common as the little vampire bats. But they ate some big stuff. These guys were awesome. So more recent records of these are from the late Pliocene, but some are from the Holocene.
Hmm.
That's what we're in right now.
Like this current time period.
The Desmond's canine tooth discovered in Buenos Aires province in Argentina came from sedimentary dating only back to 300 BP, which is about 1650 AD.
Okay.
So just the 1600s.
Okay. What was that, BP they said?
It's a different thing.
Just a different timeline scale, like to count things?
Yeah. So yeah, for us, though, it's 1650 AD.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's not that long ago.
No, not at all.
The fossil was tentatively, they called it something else at first, and then it was D. Dracula.
Okay.
So the first Desmodus Dracula fossil was located in Cadel de Guanico in Venezuela in 1965. So a pretty new discovery. They only had some pieces of them. A skull and some postcranial material was used as a type specimen.
Okay.
An authors assigned specific etiquette Dracula, noting that the largest known Capravin vampire bats, basically. So you name it after Count Dracula.
Right, yeah. You have to at that point.
And the genus is Desmodius.
Hopefully they don't find one bigger, because then they got to rewrite everything.
It takes forever. So yeah, these guys had about a 20-inch wingspan. They had about a 3-inch long humerus, which is pretty big for a bat. The skull was long and narrow, and they had an upturned face and snout, and we think they had a large pointed nose.
Mm.
So think of the Camazot legends.
Yeah.
Having that long protuberance on the nose that they said was like a sword.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So these are like a little, they're big. Don't get me wrong.
For vampire bats.
Yes. I mean, if you've seen this thing flying at you,
it
would look massive.
I wouldn't be happy.
And, you know, they lived in rookeries. And we still don't, we're kind of guessing a lot of this dimensions based on the skull.
Okay.
The one big skull we have.
Speculation or extrapolating.
So some biologists put him at being quite a bit larger. Not like, we're not talking like 7 foot across or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe a 2 foot wingspan.
Gotcha.
Which is still, if that was flying at you, did it drink blood?
No, thank you. Or you wake up in the middle of the night and it's just attached to your leg. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But yeah, range is still under a big question. They've been only found in 6 caves total, pretty much one in each country that they've said that they lived in.
Okay.
Remains are really hard to come by, and we do not know their max size because of this.
Yeah.
So we think that they were like co-orbit or cohorting rookeries. So other species of bat were living in the same caves as these guys.
Yes.
So bats are really, we just talked about the Honduran white bat.
A few weeks ago
on Freaky Fauna. So bats are pretty good. Like there's some species of bats that are nursemaids and they share babies. So they'll leave babies with other moms while they go out and eat and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of bats are colony nesters. So there may be something with that. So they may have gotten pretty big. Vampire bats are really weird. You ever seen them walk? How they hunt?
I don't think so.
So they have a numbing agent in their saliva. Okay. They have 2 big cutting teeth. So what they do is they'll hop around on the ground and they run around on the ground on all fours.
Okay.
It's very kind of weird to look at because you're like, they fold their wings up and they run around really, and they're really fast and they hop like frogs and they'll lick an area first and they're numbing it. And then they'll start cutting it open and drinking all the blood and lapping the blood up.
Oh, and then they have the animal.
And they have an anticoagulant.
So it doesn't...
It doesn't stop bleeding.
Yeah.
And it just keeps leaking.
So you keep drinking.
Mm-hmm. Their extinction, the species regarded as geologically extinct, as only bones of it have been documented and has not been reported in any surveys.
So they might still be out there.
There's thoughts of that in extremely rural areas that they may still be there. However, the extinction is assumed to be geologically recent, as some of the discoveries are not fossilized. They're bones. The date and reasons for the extinction is currently unknown.
Mm.
One hypothesis is the extinction state that is highly specialized on megafaunal mammals as prey.
Okay.
So that when the megafaunal mammals started dying out,
Which that makes sense.
But anecdotal reports say extremely large bats are attacking cattle and horses in Brazil.
They could be establishing back.
There was just so few of them, and now they're bouncing back.
Yeah.
So in Brazil, they're having problems right now, like this year in 2025. They're having problems and saying that it's giant vampire bats.
Breaking news.
Are killing cows and horses. Not like they're picking them up and dragging them away, but there's like 3 or 4 of them feeding on one cow.
Yeah.
And they, cows don't feel it, and they just drop dead from blood loss.
Blood loss, yeah. Dang.
So what do you think?
I think it could be a possibility. Well,
I'm not the first one to come up with this, just so everybody knows. People have said this for a long time, that this could be this.
Yeah. And very rightfully so. I mean, there's definitely a case here because we don't know when they went extinct. I mean, the coelacanth for that perfect example. Oh, yeah, went extinct millions of years ago.
These guys are 1650.
Yeah.
They live in caves.
That's like yesterday. In
geological time scale, you're 100%.
Or even just...
That's a blink of an eye.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
400 years is nothing.
So, and we don't have cameras and microphones and, recording every single cave in every remote area of the world. So there's billions and millions and trillions and gazillions places
for animals
to hide.
How many bats there are, right? We did that on the Honduran white bat. There's 1,300 species of bat.
It's a lot.
And...
Species.
And some of them are quite rare. So, let's talk about... The ghostly glow. So I had it for you. Bats glow.
Like owls.
Yeah, kinda. Scientists just discovered, and this is this year. This is this year in October. Scientists just discovered that bats can glow in the dark.
Ouch! Hot off the press.
Oh, I was like, some bats in the U.S. specifically glow neon green.
Wow.
What was the color that was reported on the giant bat in Mexico that the family seen?
Purple. No, it's neon green. It was green.
What was the color of the Van Meter visitor's light?
Yellowy green?
Yeah.
Yeah, chartreuse. Yeah, that's what it was. That's green.
Yeah, so the new study has found that Northern American bats glow a ghostly green when exposed to ultraviolet light. The scientists still don't have any idea why. The trait observed across multiple species. Pretty much generally every North American species of bat. They have not started work with South and Central America species. But they found the same body areas of all the specimens, regardless of age and sex, they glow green.
Now, do you think that's something that they produce, or do you think it's some kind of bacteria that they accumulate?
So the discovery was made by researching at the University of Georgia challenges existing as, of assumptions that bat biology and evolutionary traits that photophosphoruminescence, glow, doesn't seem to serve any clear functional today. But its consistent presence suggests that it may have once played a role a long time ago to some of these scientists. My thing is, they glow themselves. They produce it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's for communication inside of rookeries. Okay. I think they glow to each other like owls glow to each other to hunt in tandem and communicate with each other. These guys are in the thousands, but they memorize their pups. They memorize their sisters.
Right.
They are highly social animals. So if you're in a pitch black environment, you're using ultraviolet light. You glow to each other.
Mm.
So it's a bat to us. Our eyes don't pick it up.
Right.
But a bat, you know, and then some larger species may, you know, are producing enough of it where our limited eyes can actually see it.
Okay. Another thought, what if it's like a defense thing when they're all colonized together in the caves?
Oh, and just blinding essentially anything using ultraviolet light?
Either blinding or just making them look like a big...
big blob?
Yeah, something.
Sure.
Because my only thought about your idea is like, well, I know bats already have limited vision. You know, if that would
They don't
be-
see... Okay. That's kind of a misnomer as into the extremeness of it.
Right.
Bats aren't blind.
No, I know they're not.
They do not have great vision.
Right.
Because they use echolocation. But yeah, go ahead.
I just didn't know if, as far as communication for on an individual basis or things like that, that, you know, they probably would use their more sensitive tools, I guess, their hearing or their sound or things. That's why I thought maybe it could be a defense thing for as a colony thing. Maybe that's why they all do it. It's like a colonial defense response, like those that video of those caterpillars I showed you,
mm-hmm.
where they all caterpillars. Are. Oh gosh, they're so scary, or not scary?
No. You're talking about the silk weavers.
Yeah, the silky, the white hair.
You know, in tandem.
All in tandem, like a heartbeat. They were all moving together like at once, and then when you got close, they like stood up on end, like they looked big and fuzzier and scarier. But they're
So bats are already among the most elusive and hard mammals to study on the planet, up there with deep sea whales.
Makes sense, though.
Spending most of their lives in darkness and on the move in deep caves, you know. Yet their biology keeps revealing strangeness, surpriseness around every corner. The latest research published in Ecology and Evolution throws a new curveball, once again, biological glow previously undocumented at this scale, with no clear exceptions.
Hmm.
The study looked at 60 museum specimens and found the same glowing pattern repeated across six species, from big brown bats to Brazilian free-tailed bats.
Oh.
Which are here in North America. They are a North American species, even though they're called Brazilian free-tailed bats.
Oh, okay. On my list of bats, like favorite bats, those are definitely like top 13.
This finding adds to a growing body of research exploring natural phosphorescence in mammals. When all bats shine the same. Research tested specimens from species such as, I'm not going to give you the scientific names, but each of them displayed a green photoluminescence glow under UV light, specifically in their wings, their hind legs, and the membrane between their legs, right at their tail.
Uh-oh.
Where they have a concentration.
Oh, no.
When the team was caught off guard with uniformality, which they were not expecting, it's not... complex. It's not patterning like cheetah stripe or leopard spots or tiger stripes. They're all almost the same pattern.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing unique. It's not like a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm. No matter the species, sex, age, the glower appeared exactly the same. The level of consistency, according to the Science Alert magazine, rules out explanations like mate selection, species recognition, which typically involves some kind of variation. Here's a quote. There is no variation at all, said wildlife biologist Stephen Castaberry from the University of Georgia. That tells us it's probably not being used to distinguish between species or for mating or for individuals. Because I 100%, they're saying it's 100% identical from a baby bat to a giant bat.
Yeah.
From six different species that they've already started studying.
Oh, so my defense theory may still...
That's probably more likely.
More there.
More mammals join the glowing club. This isn't the first time scientists have found phosphorescence in mammals. Previous studies have found flying squirrels, platypus, and even opossums glow under black light.
That's pretty neat.
But the bats present a unique case due to their conformality, a feature not seen in any other animal.
Now, I wonder if they can transfer that to other animals. like that. So is that like embedded in their fur, or is it something it's that
a, would be? What do you mean?
That phosphorescent glow, I guess. Like if they land on something.
No, it's produced by them.
But I mean, it can't be shedded by them, or
no, I mean, no, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't do the same thing.
Okay, I don't know.
It's not like glow in gel.
So my thought was like, what if you know how Daryl Sims, the alien like hunter,
marking things?
Yeah, they land on you and they bite you, and then you leave. They have this weird, unique pattern on your neck. Well, what's that? It glows in a black light. Must be aliens. It's a freaking bat foot.
There you go,
Daryl. I got you figured out.
So the one thing is, this green wavelength falls within bat's range of excellent vision.
Oh, okay.
Which could mean that the bats are able to see each other glowing very well.
Oh, there you go.
Yet in the natural environment, with no ambient UV light, especially in dark roost and night skies, making it unclear whether the glow is ever active in the wild. They don't know what it's for. They have no idea what it's for. Yeah. All we know is bats glow in the dark.
Yeah. We don't know what it's for. We just know they glow.
And they can see it.
And they see it, yeah. That's funny. Hmm. So it's all so even though humans,
we need like a special light to see it, bats see it. Like bats just see each other glowing.
Yeah.
So bringing this all in, giant flying animals that suck blood and are around cattle mutilations.
That glow
relates to giant bats that have biophosphorescent spots specifically ornated on their chest, wings, and tails.
Huh? So maybe the legends aren't so crazy after all.
So there's your science and paranormal, your science and magical thinking. Everything from Ropins to, like we said, the Van Meter Visitor, which had a special spot on it.
Yeah.
To even these Camazotz. Having, Camazotz specifically didn't have anything glowing, as far as I could find. But it was a blood drinker. You know, it was mutilating cattle.
Right. It was big.
And they're in Brazil, they're saying there's giant bats. They're killing cows and horses.
Yeah. Modern day. Just this year.
Yeah. Right now.
Right now as we speak, as this episode's
in Brazil, published. There are bats drinking horses to death.
So I'm not saying this is what it is, but people are saying. But
So I think the Camazotz, I guess I'm getting to that. I do think there may be a cryptic species of giant vampire bat. Lightly built, but pretty big. So like maybe eagles, I mean, they're big, but they're not heavy, right? So it could be something like that, to where these things are maybe a 4 or 5 foot wingspan. They're very rare. They're living in caves. They're not high numbers.
Yeah.
These guys may be responsible for cattle mutilations. Some of our Mothman sightings, our giant bat sightings, our flying gargoyle sightings, all that. And they end up in weird places, and every once in a while they end up in a city.
Mothman.
And that, like Chicago Mothman, that's scary, you know. Bat Squatch, you know, all these creatures that fall in line with this from across the world, not just the U.S. and Mexico and Central America and South America, but everything from the Ropin and the Orang Bate, you know, the Owl Man of Cornwall. Like,
oh, yeah.
These humanoid bat creatures that are suspiciously have cattle mutilations in the area could be a giant species of bat. And heck, maybe they're from the Hollow Earth.
Oh,
and I do think you
went and said it.
Yeah. I do think we haven't talked about that in a long time, that there are caves that lead to giant. I don't think the earth itself is completely hollow. I do believe in the core and all that personally. I do think there are gigantic pockets inside that may have complete biospheres that we just don't understand.
Well, we know the Mammoth Cave system stretches all the way from New York to Wisconsin, all the way south as what, the Ozarks even maybe?
There's still, I think, Georgia.
And there's still major swaths of it we haven't mapped or even discovered yet, in my opinion.
And there's cave systems that are laying on top of it that they don't think connect.
That's wild. So it's not unlikely
We were in one that we were, like, really deep, and they're like, yeah, probably, like, a mile below us is the, not mile, but, you know, whatever they were saying, 500 yards or whatever, is probably a connection to the Mammoth Cave system, and these don't connect.
That's wild.
So... And I do think there are paths that get you into these giant caverns.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's where maybe things survive mass extinction events.
Deep in the earth.
Deep in the earth. And then every once in a while, they leak back out.
Protected by Earth's bosom.
And that's how you have these really big jumps in the fossil record.
Where it's just craziness.
Well, they're gone forever.
Yeah.
And then they reappear, you know, whatever, million years later.
And we talked about that, whether it was on here or Patreon, but that time scale of fossil with... natural disasters occurring all the time around the world can just shake up the fossil record.
It can flip it upside down.
Completely.
But I'm just saying, you know, you don't know.
We don't know.
They can hide from mass. I think there are plenty of hiding spots for mass extinction.
Absolutely.
There has to be. That's the only reason there's still life.
Absolutely. Yeah, because mass extinction, everything's dead.
Oh, we actually went for over an hour.
Oh, wow.
I did not realize that.
So good episode.
All right. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I have been the great and pretty much dying mystery.
And I've been J-Clone 26.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Welcome back to Cooking with...
One second.
Wrong
page.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crib is the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!